What I like about it is that he shows you over and over again.
Greetings, my dear, wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear, wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And this is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, January the 1st, 2012. And we are thankful unto the Most High for carrying us into another year that we may continue this work of organizing, uniting, and standing up for the human family, standing up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, standing up and telling this wicked, rotten system no, elevating our minds into the mind of Christ and receiving our new names, understanding ourselves, understanding who we are, understanding that we have strength, understanding that we have fortitude, intestinal, mental and spiritual fortitude, understanding that the person in the street who is considered nothing, the person in the street that's considered less than nothing, those who are looked upon and denigrated and destroyed, when we show love to that least sister and brother, and when that least sister and brother is raised up to understand the God and Goddess in that sister and brother, to understand that Christ lives within them and that they have the power to tap into the Christ consciousness of the Most High, and that consciousness becomes our consciousness. We will know ourselves as we come through and truly manifest and woe manifest the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. We will receive our new names. Black man and woman, starting with you, because we in the Western Hemisphere who were stolen from Africa have been totally disconnected from ourselves, disconnected from Africa knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, disconnected from African religion, spiritual thought, political thought, economical thought, cultural thought, all wrapped in one. We've been disconnected from that, so we must reconnect to Africa. Have you noticed, Pentecostal Church of God in Christ, black people, how the Europeans, having been in and out of Africa, when they saw us standing up, speaking in tongues, dancing, the music, the drums, rolling around under the benches. You remember those days. How the Europeans would say, oh, that's voodoo. And we say, oh, there ain't no voodoo. We believe in God and so on and so forth. Not understanding that the word voodoo is fictitious, but there is a real African word, voodoo. And that word means to right the wrongs, to stand for justice, to not go along with this wicked system that is totally unnatural. That it is natural to stand up for justice and freedom and equality. That's natural. Life is natural. Death, in this sense, is unnatural. Destruction, warfare, bloodshed, that's not natural. So, voodoo from Africa in Haiti, the sisters and brothers rose up to oppose slavery and exploitation. But that cultural expression of the dance, that cultural expression of being possessed by the Most High, being possessed by Mama Holy Spirit, that's what we were doing in the Church of God in Christ Church. But because we didn't know ourselves, when they put voodoo on us, that denigrated Africa, that destroyed Africa within our consciousness. And we sought to distance ourselves so much till some of us ceased to express ourselves exuberantly in church like we used to. We began to frown on that as ghetto culture and uncouth type culture. But we must know ourselves and know that that Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal, holiness, charismatic expression is straight from Mama Africa. And we know now that voodoo is a fictitious narrative, but voodoo is that consciousness, that Christ consciousness that we rise up and oppose this wicked system. So we had the cultural expression, the dance, the exuberance, the charisma, the speaking in tongues, but we disconnected from that revolutionary aspect that will cause us to rise up as a revolutionary against this system. So when we understand ourselves and know ourselves, know Africa, know the ancestors in Africa, know the history of Africa, know and have intercourse with the knowledge, the wisdom, the science of Africa. All the sciences come from Africa, no matter whether it's medicine, no matter whether it is anthropology, no matter whether it is astrology or astronomy, all of it comes from Africa. When we understand this, when we receive this, when we know this reality, when we know and understand Yahweh. And I'm speaking to all of us now, not just black, but brown, red, yellow, and white, because Africa is for the human family. Until the human family goes back into Africa consciousness, we will not defeat the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. When you who call yourselves communists and socialists understand that those systems are right out of Africa, original African society. We didn't call it communism, we just called it living. We just called it life. It was natural for the whole of the community to benefit from the land, the wealth, and the resources. That was just natural. But Karl Marx, when he began to study history, came up with the concept of communism and socialism. So when we understand this, when we know this, when we know Yahshua, I said Yahweh first. When we know Yahweh, who is Yahweh? Yahweh is the Most High Father and the Most High Mother. Yahweh, Yad, He, Vav, He. Yad is the Father. He is that hidden seed, whether son or daughter. Vav is the mother, the womb through whom that hidden seed comes through, coming from the germ of life, which is called sperm. The Yad Hey Vav Hey, that second Hey is that hidden and unseen seed made now visible in the physical world. So Yahweh is Father and Mother. Numbers chapter 11. Moses addresses Yahweh as having both the attributes of begetting and conceiving, because the African Hebrews understood Yahweh, Yad Hey Vav Hey, Yahowah, Yad Hey Vav Hey, Yahweh, Yad Hey Vav Hey, was Mother and Father. So when we understand that reality, understand that Yahweh, the hidden and unseen mother and the hidden and unseen father, Amenet, Amen, They are the true power behind all things. That S-U-N sun makes its orbit around a pitch black portion of the universe. And it is that pitch black portion of the universe that scientifically moves the sun around its orbit. And we call that hidden and unseen reality, Amen, the hidden father, and Amenet, the hidden mother. When we understand that Yahweh, Amen, Amenet, that hidden and unseen source, we will begin to understand ourselves and know the true hidden and unseen power within ourselves, because Yahweh lives within all things and all people. But we must tap into that hidden and unseen life force, which is scientific. This is African knowledge, the African science of revolution. This is scientific knowledge. It is scientific to understand that there is a hidden and unseen life force that gives animation to the whole of that which we refer to as creation. When we come to understand Yahshua, Yahshua means health and wealth and the returning of health and wealth to the poor, to the afflicted, to the needy. When we understand liberty and deliverance, these are the meanings of Yahshua. That the oppressed need to be delivered. The oppressed need to be liberated. And when we understand that Yahshua preached liberation theology, and when we understand that all of our ancestors, no matter whether they were religious or non-religious, when they stood up and spoke truth to power, they were speaking and teaching and preaching our liberation theology. They were tapping into the mind of Christ and understanding that the people need to have access to the land, the wealth, and the resources, and not just the wicked 1%, 2%, 5%, 10%. This Occupy movement naturally understands this reality and have raised up the consciousness of the people, have changed the discourse of the human family. Notice how the news now is talking about the 1%. And the wealth and the resources have all been funneled up to that wealthy 1%. That's because the Occupy movement and the protesters all over the earth have understood innately that Yahshua concept, that Yahshua consciousness, which is the returning of land, wealth, and resources, health and wealth back to the people, which is deliver and liberate the oppressed, which is vengeance of the Most High on the wicked ruling class and ruling families. When we know the Messiah, when we know Christ, that word no man received that name, but the one that overcometh received the name, and no one receives it except that one that knows that name. Let me quote that verse of Mama Holy Spirit. Verse 17, chapter 2, book of Revelation. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it. So we're talking about all of this knowledge that we must have access to, that we must know these realities. We must know our mission. We must know Yahweh. We must know Yahshua. We must know Christ, Messiah. That word Christ means the anointing and the spirit and the power to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. When we know and understand that Christ is the consciousness of the universe, you may call Christ Mayat, truth, justice, and righteousness. Does not matter. Same reality, same meaning. When we understand that all of us are a part of the body of Christ, when we understand that reality, when we come to know that reality, know our mission, then we will know and understand how to fight the oppressor with this word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. We will know how to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. We will know how to return the health and the wealth and prosperity back to the hands of the oppressed people of the earth. We will understand how. I heard Bob Marley say, when you don't do it with Rasta, you have to do it again. But when you do it with Rasta, you don't have to repeat yourself. Bob Marley understood. Peter Tosh understood. Bunny Wheeler, who is yet living, understands. Muta Baruka understands. He is in Jamaica. Muta Baruka, yet in Jamaica. Interviewed my minister, Louis Farrakhan, over the last couple of weeks. And I pray that the nation hurries up and releases that interview. But when we understand this reality, when we understand Yahweh, when we understand Yahshua, when we understand Jah Rastafari within I and I in this time, when we understand that Christ consciousness, when we understand that all of us, I heard Bob Marley say, 1979, Unity Concert, Baba Olatunji and others. Bob Marley said, the answer is within all of us. He said to that crowd, that stadium crowd, all of you have the answer. And all of you must come together and bring that answer together from each and every one and unite the answer from each and every one with the answer from each and every one. And together we will deliver Africa. When Africa is free, then all of us are free. If Africa no free, then none of us are free. If anyone on the planet is suffering, we all suffer. Elijah Muhammad said, no one person can rise above the condition of their people. And so the Nation of Islam has been teaching in this day and time that yes, we have a black president. Yes, we have a beautiful black family in the White House. That beautiful, wonderful, and gorgeous black woman. Can't remember her name all of a sudden. That beautiful sister, the wife of Barack Obama, Michelle, I believe. That beautiful sister and Sasha and the other child, their two daughters. These are beautiful black people, wonderful black people within that sense. But look at the condition of black people in America. Look at the condition of poor people in America. That is wonderful symbolism, but has it been translated into substance? Do we see the condition of the people improving? Or do we only see that the wealthy continue to take the wealth and the resources for themselves? What is Obama doing? He is working on behalf of the wealthy, working on behalf of the ruling class and ruling families, killing people all over the earth for the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, along with the leadership in Israel, along with the leadership in Britain and Canada and France and Italy, so on and so forth. So you cannot rise above the condition of your people. You may do great works, but if the condition of our people has not been risen to greatness, then what good is our individual greatness? We must translate our individual greatness into that which will help and raise up the whole of the human family, particularly the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and alleviate and destroy poverty and infliction and neediness and obliterate this condition of oppression. Then our greatness will have manifested into the greatness of the whole and not just a singular, not just a single one. So when we understand all of these things, we will understand how to deliver ourselves. Black man and woman, receive and know that you are the African Hebrew Israelite nation. You fulfill Genesis 15, 13 through 15. I heard Bob Marley say again, 400 years of oppression, 400 years of captivity, because Rasta people have been from long time teaching that we are the ancient African Hebrew Israelite nation. And the Nation of Islam has taught that we are the true Jew and the true Hebrew, not that nation Israel. And both Rasta and the Nation of Islam taught that those in Israel are not the Israel, that we are the Israel. So when we come to understand these things, we will then be able to manifest and receive the knowledge of the kingdom of God in heaven on this earth. And we don't say these things to be arrogant, but we black people who have suffered untold sufferings, as Peter Tosh would say, the half, the three-fourths has never yet been told of what we have suffered. But we have come through the fire. We are those who have been plucked out of the fire, the scripture says. From Genesis to Revelation, we are that persecuted people that will look into other of the oppressed people, brown, red, yellow, and poor white. And we, as African Hebrew Israelites, will look and see the God and the Goddess in the whole of the human family, in all of the oppressed, and we together will raise each other up into the God consciousness and the Goddess consciousness and the Christ consciousness, and together, black, brown, red, yellow, and poor white, together, we will free up the whole of Mother Earth. Free up the whole of the oppressed, no matter where we are found on this earth. And we will free up Mother Earth from such wicked, rotten, destructive system that destroys the ecology, that destroys the water and the land, that destroys the air. We are going to clean up the whole of the earth and the whole of the universe from that spirit of Rome, that spirit of Caesar, that spirit of the oppressor, Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, that spirit of warfare, bloodshed, destruction, death and hell. When we understand these things, we will manifest and will manifest the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. We're going to take our last break. And I will see you on the other side of the break. Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is January the 1st, 2012. And what we're going to do now is shift over to a Sunday school lesson that we had. It is titled Praying as God's People. November the 20th, 2011 is when we had this Sunday school lesson, found in St. Matthew chapter 6 and starting at verse 5. And no matter where we go, whether it is Bible, whether it is Quran, no matter what book we use, we can read the universe. And I'm thinking of my beautiful sister Caroline Casey of KPFA, the visionary activist, who can read the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, and teach exactly as we are teaching today. And so we're going to shift from Revelation to the book of St. Matthew. And we're going to set it up because I'm reading a book, Covenant Economics, I believe is the name of the book. Covenant Economics. It's in my summary page. Written by Richard Horsley, a wonderful Caucasian brother, theologian and scholar. Read everything that Richard Horsley has written. He helps us to understand that Jesus Christ, Yahshua Messiah, is the consummate revolutionary. Now, if we understand the brutality of Rome, the hell that Rome caused, the wickedness of Rome, understand that even Revelation was written in response to the wickedness of Caesar and Rome. Understand that as Jesus is about to be born in earth, manifested on earth, having his earth day, because all of us are eternal, but when we're so-called born on earth, that is our earth day, not our beginning. But on Jesus' earth day, before that time, revolution all over the place. Various peoples leading revolutions, leading sisters and brothers into the wilderness to fight against Rome, but being destroyed. Some leading the sisters and brothers into Jerusalem to fight against Rome, but being destroyed. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, 19 and 15 or 19 and 16, St. John tell you that Caesar was their king. They were not worried about God or Yahweh, as we would call. Their king was Caesar, and Caesar was being promoted by the high priests as Lord and Savior and bringer of peace and bringer of civilization. And so the revolutions were in opposition to the high priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians. You had Herod, who was a cousin of the African Hebrew Israelites, who sold out his people and ruled on behalf of Rome. And he worked in tandem with the high priest aristocracy that he emplaced on behalf of Rome. And none of them would have position unless Rome had installed all of them. And so the revolutions that rose up would oppose Herod and Herod's son Antipas, and oppose the high priest aristocracy, and oppose Rome and be destroyed. Because the weapons were inferior weapons, Rome had greater physical weapons. So this man, Yahshua, even when Yahshua is born on earth, there's a revolution. And so Mother Mary is looking at these revolutions. She names her child Yahshua because in this child will grow the spirit to actually deliver the people from Rome and from Caesar. But the scholars of today have caused us to misunderstand Yahshua and have caused us to think that Yahshua did not rise up to deliver the people from the oppressor, from Rome, from Caesar. But they have purposefully caused us to misunderstand, because if we understood that reality, then we would rise up and deliver ourselves from the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the wicked oppressor in this time. The wicked scholars and Elijah Muhammad would say, I wouldn't give 2 cents for their wicked, rotten scholarship. The wicked scholars have caused us to think that Jesus and Yahshua was only a religious teacher bereft of economic teaching and bereft of political teaching. But the African Hebrew Israelites, the ancient African ancestors, didn't see any separation between church, state, religion, culture, economics, and so on and so forth. But it was all one. The synagogue, the temple, the church, the gathering was a religious experience, a cultural experience, an economic experience, an all experience of life wrapped in one. When you went to synagogue, or when you went to tabernacle, you went to a place where everything was taken care of. Executive, judicial, what's the other word? Executive branch, judicial branch, and legislative branch. All one in ancient Africa. No separation. So when we understand this as a backdrop and understand that no, Jesus didn't come with a physical weapon, although his disciples were armed with swords. That's the truth. But Jesus' weapon was that word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus' weapon, Yahshua's weapon, was knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Yahshua didn't lead the people into Jerusalem as others did, didn't lead the people into the wilderness as others did, but Yahshua gave a knowledge to the people that would reform the villages and reform the community and make the community and village self-sustaining and independent of Rome and Caesar, causing the people to love each other again, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, causing the Galileans and the Judeans and the Samaritans and the peoples of that region to love each other and reject Caesar, reject Rome, reject Caesar as Lord and Savior, because he was nothing but a killer, a colonizer, an exploiter, and a despot. And so Yahshua, which means justice and liberation and deliverance, is raised up. Not to say that just the man's flesh is to be raised up, but that which the man teaches is to be raised up. Jesus taught deliverance, liberation, health and wealth back to the people, vengeance of Yahweh on the oppressor. That is what's raised up to be our Lord and Savior. And as we encompass those teachings into our lives, we will find that we will be saved whole, made whole spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically. And so Jesus in St. Matthew chapter 6 is teaching his disciples how to pray. Because you see, the scribes and the Pharisees and the high priests and whatnot, they would pray. But they prayed on behalf of Caesar. They prayed to get the people to think that they that the high priests were working on behalf of the people, when in reality the high priests were working on behalf of Caesar and Rome. So their prayers were vain. Their prayers were for people to see, to be duped into thinking that the high priest had the people's interest in heart, when in reality the high priest had Caesar as their Lord and Savior and the Roman elites as their Lord and Savior, and were working to destroy the people, tax the people, take the people's wealth and resources and whatnot. So Jesus is opposing that. Jesus is opposing the high priest taking of the wealth of the people and putting it into the temple, because that temple was not being used for the Most High and the people. That temple was being used for Caesar. Jesus is opposing Herod, who taxed the people on top of the tithe taken by the high priest. And then Rome put another tax. And so Jesus said, "Gift to Caesar was his, gift to God is what belonged to God." But when you understand Yahweh, and that Yahweh, the Father and Mother Yahweh, controls the whole of the universe and creation, and understand that Caesar is a rotten killer despot, what does Caesar own? And what does Caesar have in his possession that Caesar did not steal by death, by warfare and bloodshed? So Jesus was not saying pay taxes to Caesar. Jesus was trying to get us to think and understand that Caesar owns nothing, and that our allegiance is to Yahweh. And so this prayer is to help us to understand that. And then Jesus says in verse 5, chapter 6, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Jesus is talking about the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those high priests who prayed in order to fool the people into being colonized and slaves for Caesar. "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Their reward is with Caesar. Their reward is with Rome. Their reward is with the Roman elites and the Roman Empire. Verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So we don't pray to be seen of men. We don't pray so that we may fool the people into thinking that we love the people, when in reality we hate the people. That's what the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers do. That's what those who are the gatekeepers for the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers do. Anyone that will not teach the reality of Christianity as being a revolution, not in opposition to original Hebrew, anyone that will teach that Jesus did not uphold the law, anyone that will teach that this is a disconnect from the law of the Hebrews coming down through Moses, is one who is praying and preaching and teaching for the benefit of himself and Rome, modern day Rome, Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, to fool us into thinking that they love us, when in reality they are teaching that which will cause destruction. Because Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus came not to teach in opposition to the law, but to teach in opposition to the tradition of the elders, the tradition of the high priest, the tradition of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Herodians, which was the tradition of selling out to Rome, selling out to Caesar, selling out to the wicked powers. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus came to show us that we must stand up and fight Caesar and fight Babylon and fight Rome. Jesus came to show us that we must begin to understand that we are to oppose Caesar, oppose Rome, oppose the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers in this time, oppose this wicked system of warfare, bloodshed, death, hell, and destruction. That's what Jesus came to do. And so this prayer that Jesus is giving to his disciples is a prayer that would teach us that reality. After this manner, let me see now. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. Verse 7, chapter 6 of St. Matthew. As the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. The heathen. 1482 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Ethnikos, which is where we get our word ethnic, adapted to the genius or customs of people, peculiar to a people, a national people. So the nature of pagans, alien to the worship of the true God, heathenish, pagans, Gentiles. He's talking about the Gentiles. Now, who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles were Rome. The Gentiles were Caesar and the Roman elites. And because the high priests followed after Rome, Caesar, and the Rome, and the Europeans, then the high priests became Gentiles as well, and heathens as well. It means those who practice the destruction of the human family through warfare and bloodshed. That's what a heathen is. That's what a pagan is. He wasn't speaking of Africa. He wasn't speaking of the African Hebrew Israelite nation. He was speaking of Rome. For they think they will be heard for their much speaking. They speak all type of talk only to make us to think that they love us, when in reality they love the Rothschilds. They love the Oppenheimers. Look at your presidents and your prime ministers and how they talk all day and night. But in reality, they don't love us. They can't love us. You can't love us when you're dropping bombs on us, when you're using predator drones to kill people, when you have the CIA going all over the earth, and the CIA is in Syria now, fomenting revolution to make us think that the people are rising up against Assad in Syria and are in Iran to foment unrest, to overthrow Iran. And you have the Arab League in Syria now, headed by a Sudanese brother who says he didn't see anything going on in Homs, in Syria, that would cause alarm. And so, when we understand these realities, we will be able to see through these talkings and verbology of those puppets who are working on behalf of the puppeteers to make us think that they're in Syria for democracy, or they are in Iran for democracy, or they went to Libya for democracy, or they are in Africa for democracy, or they're anywhere for democracy. We know that they are only in those places. Britain, America, Italy, France, Canada, to kill and destroy on behalf of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. Sisters and brothers, Jesus wants us to think. Jesus wants us to be sincere and love the Most High Father and Mother and love the human family and work on behalf of the human family and stand up on behalf of the human family and not speak a vain type of talk, but speak truth to power as Jesus did, our supreme example. We're going to cut off now. We're going to continue this next session. Jah love, Jah bless. Bless New Year. May the Most High continue to manifest within ourselves. Will manifest within ourselves. May our dreams and visions of kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth begin to manifest and come into total fruition. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.